Welcome to the Kitchen Counter Podcast, episode 179, Eat This Book with Stacy Michelson. Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for downloading and listening to this episode of the show. I am Roger, your host, and this is the podcast that is all about home cooking, getting in the kitchen, learning new things, having fun. And let me tell you, today we're going to have a lot of fun because I have Stacy Michelson on the show. She's going to join me in a few minutes, and we're going to talk all about her new book called Eat This Book. Listen, I am loving this book. I've got it on Kindle. Got a hard copy here too. I'm probably going to order maybe a couple more for gifts. It's this cool food reference book, but it's all fully illustrated and hand-drawn and hand-lettered. It's got kind of this sort of a funky hand-drawn comic book style crossed with, I don't even know how to explain it. It's really cool. There'll be links in the show notes that you can go check it out. And if you're interested in getting a copy, which I highly recommend, you can see some previews there, and of course there'll be options for places you can pick it up. But I am absolutely loving this book, and Stacy and I have a great conversation. We had a lot of fun, a lot of laughs, and we even share some of the crazy, interesting facts that she has in this book. So I hope it entices you to possibly check it out more. By the way, since I mentioned it, I should say that the show notes for this episode are over at kitchencounterpodcast.com/179. That's kitchencounterpodcast.com/179. You'll get to the show notes where I'll have links to the stuff that Stacy and I talk about, including places you can pick up a copy of Eat This Book. As usual, if you want to get a hold of me, you can send an email over to feedback@kitchencounterpodcast.com. You can also find me on the usual social media channels, although I'm probably the most active in the Facebook group, the Kitchen Counter Coffee Break. If you're a Facebook person and you're interested in joining the private group, head over to kitchencounterpodcast.com/group. That'll link you over to Facebook, where you can ask to join the group, answer a couple of questions, please. And then as soon as you do that, we'll let you in. Lots of cool people over there, lots of fun going on, food pictures, people sharing ideas, looking for inspiration and that sort of thing. I'm also over at least reading Twitter a fair bit, and you can find me over there at TKC Podcast. All right, everybody. So I want to get right into this really fun episode with Stacy Michelson so we can talk about Eat This Book. I can't wait to share it with you. So without further ado, let's hop right into the conversation with Stacy. Stacy, welcome to the show. Thanks for being here.
Oh, thanks for having me. I'm excited.
I'm excited, actually, okay. Because we're going to talk about your book, Eat This Book, that just came out this week, I think, on Tuesday, if I'm not mistaken. I love this book. This might be my favorite food-related book I've read in a long, long time.
I like that reaction. That's good.
Yes. One, I'm kind of a nerd, a factoid nerd. And of any kind, and I love food. So when you put the two together, it's like, la, you know, like Nirvana.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I hope everybody has that reaction. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. So I've been loving this. I got it on Kindle. I have a physical copy on the way too. But I guess before we get into the book, though, I want to learn a little bit more about you. You have a little bio in your book, and I've checked out some of your stuff online too. But who in the world are you, and how do you have such an interesting style of illustration? And you know, just your background. What led you up to this point?
So I've always been that person who's drawing, and I'm always excited by food. That's one of the things, my favorite things. So, you know, whenever I'm bored or hungry or menu planning or anything, like my sketchbook is always taken over by little cartoon food items or things like that. So I think if you mix the two things that you really love, like I always worked in restaurants. And so I was always surrounded by food and always learning about new stuff. So I'd, you know, come home, and when you're just doodling or, you know, drawing stuff, it's like those things kind of make it into the sketchbook. And then I like to put those out in the world. Like I had a brand, or I still have a brand, but you know, like put little food items on pins or on pouches or t-shirts, and people love food stuff and they love to see their favorite food, you know, like a boba pin or a coffee, you know, little pin or something, or t-shirt. And I feel like, yeah, there's just food nerds are food nerds. Just love that stuff.
It's such a cool style too. So your other illustrations or the other work that you do, is it in the style that you've done in this book? How would you actually describe the style in this book? I could try, but I might not do it justice.
Well, I think, so I have two styles that I draw in. And one is like this kind of like serious, like, okay, here's an actual drawing of this thing. Like here is a drawing of an avocado. But then I also like to have this fun style where it's like, oh, but I could have sunglasses on that avocado. And I could have, you know, like it could be a regular drawing, like a still life, or it could be the like, you know, animated Stacy style. So in the book, I go back and forth, which I think, you know, people, especially who are familiar with my work, they can really see that I did it. You know, like somebody can pick it up and be like, oh my God, did Stacy Michelson do this? You know, it's like, I want to have that, you know, stamp on there. But yeah, so the style is kind of infographic, you know, like those kind of things, but it's way more fun than just like, you know, the normal ones that you, when you're Googling infographics online.
Well, it's more fun, first of all, because it's all hand-drawn, all hand-lettered. So it's like, it's not computer, it's not perfectly straight. And, you know, it's like a fun, it's almost a like a slight comic book style too, I guess you could say. I mean, that's even a wide genre, right? But
yeah. But I use those talk bubbles and things to make it conversational. Like, I think the thing that I hope is attractive about this book to anybody, like at any age, is just like, it feels very casual, but it's fun and it's easy to learn from. But maybe you've read like through five pages and it's just this exciting thing of like, oh my God, I love cashews and I love almonds, and you're reading it. But the next thing you know, you're like so smart about those things. You know, it's like, I just hope that the learning is the side effect of the having fun reading the book.
You know what? I was going to mention this later, but now that you bring it up, and we'll talk about some of these interesting facts that you have in here about some of the foods and ingredients, but it makes me want to go research these things even more. Like there's things in here I've read and I'm like, what? I got to go learn about this. I can't believe it. It's unbelievable. It's so cool.
Thank you. When I was doing research, it's like, you know, to edit it down to fit on one or, you know, like a 2-page spread, that's so hard for some of these things like coffee or chocolate. It's like, there's whole books written about those things, but I'm trying to give you like the, okay, what do I think are the cool things that maybe you haven't heard or that you probably should know if you don't know already, or that will remind you of, oh my gosh, you know what? That's probably why those bean to bar chocolates are so much more expensive than like a Hershey's. It's like because of da 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 da. I don't know. I try to give you like the fun stuff, but the stuff that you're going to take away that's going to, you know, make you appreciate it even more.
So I think you have 99 items in here, 99 yes. Food related products, items, ingredients, and things like that. You must have had a larger list and you narrowed it down to 99, I'm guessing, because it seems to me there's a lot of things that I went to look for and I'm like, oh, dang it, she doesn't have that in there. Do you have a list of like for a whole second book here? I'm curious.
I'm ready for the second book. So we have to make this a hit. Everybody buy the copy. Do like Roger and get the, you know, the digital copy
yes.
and the physical copy. And then everybody will be like, where is number two? Because I want to learn about dragon fruit and I want to learn about, you know, like all these other things.
Yes. Pistachios. Are they on your next book?
Yes. That's
just
on my
a request.
List. Okay.
Okay.
Is that your favorite?
Okay. Well, I was just in the last episode, I was talking to somebody about pesto and she shared a recipe about pistachio pesto. And I went on and I said, well, pistachio is obviously the best nut. And we didn't get into why, but I mean, like, would you
obviously,
need backup
for that obviously.
Claim? I mean, right. Who needs it? And so I was like, oh, I wonder if she has pistachios, and you don't in this version. So I'll look for it in your next one. But
yeah, the list was huge.
Oh, I'm sure. And I bet this was such a fun book to write. I'm just totally jealous because if I had it in me to write any sort of a book, I'm like, dang, this would be, I couldn't draw like you draw, but the book itself is just such a cool book. Yeah, I want to talk about some of the factoids in here because honest to goodness, I haven't read it all, but what I have read almost on every page, even the stuff I think I know pretty much everything about, I'm like, what? You know, there's just nuggets in here. And there's one that you that I emailed you about. And I said, I still can't get over this one. And this is on your vanilla. It's okay if we talk about these in detail a little bit.
Okay. I hope. Yeah.
Okay.
We gotta, so you got all this. The people. We got to hook the people. And then they're like, what are they talking about?
This might be the wrong one to lead with and somebody. But I can't get it out of my brain. So vanilla, you've got all this interesting stuff about vanilla beans. I'm looking at it on my iPad here. But you've got this little, like a comic book voice bubble with this factoid. Do you want to read it or do you want me to read it? Can I read it? Or do you want to? I want it in your voice if you've got it there.
Okay.
Go for it.
Okay. Ever smelled a beaver's butt? It smells like vanilla, so much so that a brown slime was extracted from glands under their tail and used in food as a natural flavoring for over 80 years. Don't worry, it's not common today.
Yeah, what?
Who discovered that? I mean, those.
That's exactly my thought. So one of my favorite things to just do like these thought experiments and wonder, even common foods, like the example I always take up is like coffee. Like, who was the first person that thought you could take a coffee berry, take the bean out, roast it, pour hot water over it?
So much work.
Yeah. And so many steps in the chain, right, to end up with a cup of coffee. But, you mean, once you think about it, it's like, oh, you know, they were probably cooking and somebody probably burnt some beans and the liquid that they cooked them in probably gave them a zap. And they thought, oh, you know, maybe I could do something with this. But it's like
vanilla.
A beaver's rear end. I mean, if I had a time machine, this would be one of the things I would go back to check out. I want to be in the room.
Yeah.
When somebody's like, oh, trouble getting vanilla? Let me tell you the cure. I got all these beaver skins in my hut and a jar of this stuff. I mean, what?
And that's what it probably had to be, right? It's like, I'm picturing in my brain all these dudes, these old-timey dudes, and, you know, all these dead beavers are hung up because they're going to use their fur. But then they're like, what is that? Like, smells delicious. What? And then they're just like, where is that coming from? And they get closer to their behind. Like, what? I don't know. I don't know. It's crazy.
Yeah.
But it's real.
I know. But anyway, aside from the beaver rear end slime, which I'm sure was a great hook for your book, there's lots of stuff about vanilla in here that's actually interesting and useful for a person today. But you've got stuff like this for tons of foods. And here's the other one I want to talk about, because this blew my mind today.
Okay.
I actually read it this morning. So I am a huge marshmallow fan. Marshmallows are one of my favorite things to eat. I just like them. I'm a huge Peeps fan too. I'm just going to go on record and say that. People who know me know that.
Oh, that's a very split camp of love and hate.
I catch a lot of crap for that, but it is the best Easter candy. Okay.
Okay.
That's my opinion. I don't know how you feel about that.
You love pistachios and Peeps. Got it. Okay.
But you know what? I've never thought about where did the name marshmallow come from? The ancient Egyptians in 2000 BC, I'm looking for the page. I've memorized it because I've read it like six times.
Okay.
They extracted a sap from a reed called the mallow reed, which happened to grow in the marshes in the area. They whip it and combine it with honey to make marshmallows for the royalty. Marshmallow blew my mind.
Yeah.
It blew my mind. And of course, it wasn't until it got to France in the 1800s that they replaced the mallow sap with gelatin. And that's how we have it today. But I want to go and I need the backstory on marshmallows now.
Well, and also that sap, it's like it was used as a medicine. So it's like, you know, they use it to treat sore throats and coughs and toothaches. And it's like, that is such a funny concept too, because, you know, we think of marshmallows as like this sweet, this decadent thing. It's a dessert. And it's like, oh, you have a toothache? Eat this, you know, eat this sap.
Yeah, eat a marshmallow or sap.
And love potion. And it was a love potion.
Yeah. That's all interesting. But honestly, the whole ancient Egyptian, you know, mallow reeds, wow. I always thought marshmallow was just a word that sounded like what a marshmallow was. You know what I mean? What's that called? Like an onomatopoeia? Yeah, got a mallowy, marshy.
Yeah.
Some guy just came up with that name.
So like with those things, like when I'm researching it, like you said, like you want to do your own deep dive now, but it's like, there's so much stuff. So I'm like constantly like filtering it and being like, oh my gosh, well, people have to know this because they probably don't know that, you know, or bringing in even the thing about the Girl Scouts, that first recipe with marshmallows. That is such a cool, just fun story. I feel like, I mean, everybody knows marshmallows, right? So it's just to learn all these kind of fun things, but it's not in a like, hey, want to hear a zany fact? It's like, comes together, this whole story. And I feel like that's what's so fun about each page when you flip it in this book. It's just like, I mean, that's what I think, at least.
I agree. What was your biggest surprise you probably had a lot of them. I'm assuming like even these facts were maybe surprising to you. What blows your mind in writing the book?
The one that I was like, this is insane, is cashews. Did you read that page yet?
No, I'm going to go look at it right now.
Okay, so the cashew that we all know is just part of the cashew apple.
Okay. Oh my, they look like bell peppers. What in the what?
Yeah, so the cashew apple is an accessory fruit, and then the cashew is in a seed, and it grows at the very bottom. So, and everything's done by hand. So it's like, you know, when you go to the store and you're like buying a bag of cashews and it's $7.99 and people are like, oh, that's expensive. Why are they so expensive? It's like, okay. So after doing all the research for this, I was like, I will never complain about the price of cashew butter or cashew milk or just buying cashews, because they're picked by hand. They have to separate the cashew from the cashew apple, and then they have to do everything by hand. It's insane. I watched videos of them picking these things. It's wild. So that blew my mind. I feel like that was super shocking. And then, you know, they never sell cashews in their shells, and that's because the shells have this toxic oil in them. Yeah, all that was just very mind-blowing to me, but also so interesting because we all eat cashews, or most of us. I mean, you're a pistachio guy, but we all eat
cashews are all right.
But it's like, you never think about that. You've never seen it in a shell. I mean, it's just such a random, weird thing. Yeah. So certain things in this book, like I really wanted to kind of show, like when I present the titles, sometimes that's an opportunity for me to show you like maybe how that thing grows or incorporate something, you know, in it. Like that was so fun trying to be clever with the illustration, you know, because so much of it is, if I have your attention for, you know, 5 seconds and you open this book, like I want you to be hooked and be like, wait, what? And that's how that grows? Or wait, it looks like that? Those kind of things I feel like just are cool to learn about, but you're not going to find that in the average, you know, reference book or just when you're looking up something online. So yeah, I tried to make it fun like that.
Yeah. And I think we've talked mostly, well, I guess marshmallows are a processed food. But I mean, you have everything from ingredients in here. Like I just flipped to the can of pumpkin pie filling, right? You have a whole page on that, for example. So I think it's very cool that you not only are talking about base ingredients, but I think I emailed you about like the boba tea, for example. So you've got things in here that are, you know, culturally interesting. What am I trying to say? But aren't just like, it's a leek or it's an onion. I mean, you've got matcha, you've got Japanese whiskey.
Yeah. And a lot of those things too, it's like when I was putting together the list, you know how you said like, oh my gosh, you probably had so many things. A lot of those when I started posting these online, it was just an Instagram project for me to nerd out myself. And I was just totally. Like, oh yeah, it was one of those 100 days projects. I thought I could do, you know, 100. I thought I could spend an hour a day and do 100 foods. But then as I started really noticing that people were like, oh my gosh, Stace, can you draw this? Can you look up liquid smoke for me? Like, what is that all about? And it's like, sure. That's a good thing. So then I wanted to spend, of course, more than an hour. I mean, some of these took 4 or 5 days to do. You know, it's like so I'm accumulating this list from requests. And I'm doing things that just I'm curious about, or maybe it's a favorite food. Like living in LA, it's like, you know, boba super popular. The little Mexican pan dulce, the concha, is popular. It's like all these things that you see all the time, and they mean so much to communities and people, and it's memories, and it's, you know, it's all these things. It's like I kind of wanted to do some of the pages just as like a billboard for like a celebration. hey, here's this thing. You probably eat it all the time or you see it all the time. And this is why people go crazy over it. Like, this is why it's so special to people. So it's kind of like, I like to say the book is half education, half celebration, because it's like so many of these things too. It's just like, wow, these are awesome foods that everybody loves. So a lot of the things you were saying, like the not ingredient based things, but like actual things that have a whole story in them, like sriracha, just telling that story. It's like that, you know, I watched the little mini documentary on that guy and his hot sauce. And it's like exploring certain things too, as just to, you know, just to give it a page of like, this thing is cool and I think you should know about it or learn more about it, instead of just, you know, if somebody just eats something and they're like, I love that, but they don't know where it came from or they don't know anything about it. It's fun to learn the histories and, you know.
Yes. And, you know, you do a fair amount of myth busting too, which is kind of cool. Myth busting, I use air quotes, but like you mentioned liquid smoke. I read that one too. And that gets a bad rap from everybody.
Oh my God.
I'm like, it's just water with like smoke. I mean, it's about as natural as you can get.
It's just the condensation. I mean,
it's not a chemical.
Yeah.
Right. It's not fake. It's literally
smoke,
like water that has been infused with smoke, like real smoke. It's not magic.
I mean, no chemicals. But I think a lot of those things too, people, you know, they might read that in a blurb somewhere or see an article of like, you know, it's harmless or something, but it's like, hey, give me 5, 10 seconds for you to read this thing. And then maybe it'll change your mind or you'll be like, oh, that does make sense because this is how they make it. It's like, I feel like I'm just trying to connect the dots so that everybody gets a little bit, you know, more food smart.
Yeah, and you've got to be careful with the all natural, because I'm sure the beaver butt slime vanilla substitute was labeled all natural too.
Yeah, I mean, that is natural.
Okay, so you've talked a lot about the education and the factoids and all this, and it's interesting, but where do you go to find this information? Because, you know, some of it's fairly easy to get to, I'm sure, but I mean, some of this stuff is like deep historical nuggets, and it probably wasn't just something you could pluck out of the knowledge tree and put in your book, right? So how much work was it to research this stuff? What did you do?
I definitely didn't want to be like, oh, I read a Wikipedia page and then I drew this thing to throw it in a book for all of you guys to read and half of you to tell me that I'm wrong, you know? So I wanted to really make sure that everything was super accurate, and I was especially things that aren't super familiar to me. I wanted to make sure I was representing those properly and doing them justice, you know? But I worked in a restaurant for years that was called Street in LA, and it was global street food. So I was exposed to a huge amount of ingredients and things that I didn't grow up eating or had never seen and learned about. And so those are on the menu. So I knew I was familiar with some of those, and some of those have become my favorite foods. But also I feel like I always go the next step further. And like, even back in the day when I was working in the restaurant, it's like, I would look those things up. And I would be like, oh my gosh, like I see it at the store. Like that's the thing we have at work. Like I'm going to buy it. I'm going to try to cook with it. It's like getting familiar with something. I feel like, you know, anybody who likes to cook, the more you use an ingredient, and that's what I think will be helpful with this book too. It's like, I have little things on there where, you know, I'll say goes great with da da da, or here's how to pick a ripe fig. You know, it's like these different little helpful things. But I think the food knowledge from working in the restaurant world for so long, I already knew a little bit of it, but then I wanted to dive deeper. And so I'm like, you know, reading all the best articles about stuff, looking up stuff in reference books. And then also like YouTube is just amazing. Watching them actually, you know, do the whole thing from with the cashew apples to how it gets in your bag, or with different types of sugars, or, you know, coffee, chocolate. It's like, I could watch all those things for so long and then just be like, you know what the three takeaways are that like people really need to know, is like labor intensive, expensive, put that in the book, you know, and really research it well. But then also what's so cool about, especially with my friend circle and the Instagram community, is I have so many friends that I could just, you know, if I'm doing a Japanese food or a Mexican food and I'm writing something, like I want to make sure that they think this is awesome, this is great, like I really feel like you did a good job on this item. So like, it was also important for me to make sure that I had people looking at it that were very familiar with this. And it wasn't just me drawing something and sticking it in there and saying, this is how it is. It's like, I wanted to make sure everything is cool with everybody and everybody feels proud of those things in there.
I love it. So you're ready for the next book, but we got to get, we got to get you tons of people, fans of this bad boy. And it's my mission now to get everyone to pick up a copy of this. So it came out on Tuesday, which would be Tuesday, March 23rd, depending on when you listen to this podcast. But where is the best place, in your opinion, for people to go find this book? At their local bookstore, online? Do you sell it on your website?
So it's a real book. So it's available wherever books are sold. So if you're an Amazon person or Target or Barnes and Noble, they all have it. I live in LA and I've been working closely with a really cool culinary shop called Now Serving. And they, I've been partnering with them and doing signed books. So every book that, like, if you want a cool little drawing and need a, and like my signature in there, get it from NowServingLA.com. But your local bookshop, like I know there's a bunch of, you know, food bookstores across the country that are cool, you know, Omnivore Books in San Francisco, Book Larder in Seattle, like Powell's in Portland, any shop you love and you want to support, if they don't have it, I'm sure they'll order it.
They'll order it for sure. For sure. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Very cool. And then you've been talking about Instagram and stuff like that. So where can folks, and you have a website, so I'll put this all in the show notes as well, but go ahead and just tell us where we can find all that good stuff.
So on Instagram, I'm at Stacy Michelson, Stacy Michelson. And I love to post stuff that, you know, it's all like food and fun related. Like those are my things, food and fun. So it's like, you know, it's something that I just made or something that I ate, or also just art things, sketchbook. Like I love to show behind the scenes of that kind of stuff. I do a lot of funny videos with like talking food that people love. But yeah, Instagram's a good time. That's my favorite place. That's my favorite hobby.
Okay. Okay. Good deal. Good to know. So I'll put that, all that in the show notes. So we'll get people hooked up with you because I think they're going to love what they find in this book. I really do. I mean, we talk about how much fun it is and the illustrations and all that, but you know, it really is a great resource if you like food. I mean, I've got on the shelf behind me the Deluxe Food Lover's Companion, which is an awesome book, but this is just so much cooler because it's illustrated and it's accessible and you can just dive in and grab little nibbles and jump out and learn something all the time.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I was going to say, I think the thing too that, that I'm really proud of with this book is that it's just a, like, it's so fun to just pick up and you can look at, you can, you know, you can pick it up and use it if you have a question in the kitchen, if you're cooking something like, wait, what's the thing with artichokes again? And you can look something up and use it as a reference. It's the same size as a cookbook. So I feel like it lives on your cookbook shelf or, you know, it's pretty enough, like set it on your coffee table, you know, and it's kind of the thing. I feel like if somebody comes over, they'll pick it up and it's like, you can just look through it for a couple minutes and it's just like, I don't know. I feel like it's really entertaining, but also, you know, it's inspiring. And I think it gets kids and adults excited. Like, I think it's, I'm hoping that by Christmas time too, it's just like the perfect easy gift. You know, it's like you buy that book for somebody. It's like, who's not going to love it? I don't want to sound stuck up. Who's not going to, like, it's so fun.
It's the, it's the perfect book.
Yeah, it's the, hey, I'm going to quote you. I'm going to quote you.
Again, I'll put all this in the show notes and stuff, but this is awesome, Stacy. And I really appreciate you taking some time to come on and talk about it. And I know you're going to have a second book sooner or later. And I hope if, you are up to it, you'll come back and talk about that someday.
Sure. This is easy. This is the fun part.
All right. Well, Stacy, thanks so much. I really appreciate
it. Thank you.
Hey, everybody. I hope you enjoyed that episode. I had a lot of fun chatting with Stacy. Stacy, thank you so much for coming on the show and telling us about Eat This Book, how you came up with it, sort of your ideas and inspiration behind it. I said during the episode that I really, really like this book. You know, it's not often I come across a food-related book that's not a cookbook necessarily, but is so chock full of interesting information and useful information, as well as just the crazy factoids, like a couple of them we talked about in the episode. But it's just a great reference book. I really enjoy just popping open the book, finding a page, you know, reading about whatever I happen to open up to. And everybody else in my family is really enjoying it too. So again, kitchencounterpodcast.com/179 to check out the show notes for this episode. Well, folks, that is going to do it for another episode this week of the Kitchen Counter Podcast. Once again, you know, thank you so much for tuning in and listening along and spending just a little bit of your very precious time with me and my guests on the Kitchen Counter. It really does mean a lot to me. Again, if you think your friends or your family might get some value out of this show, please share it with them and share how to find the show on their smartphones or on their computers or wherever you find the podcast. Maybe it's a good opportunity to teach your family members how to find podcasts in general, because there's a lot of really, really good ones out there that they're missing out on by not listening. I'll be back next week with another episode, and I've even got a few other bonus type episodes in the works. So there should be quite a bit of content coming online on the podcast feed in the next few weeks. So again, thanks. I look forward to sharing more awesome stuff with you in the very near future. And until next time, I am Roger with the Kitchen Counter Podcast. Happy cooking.